Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, I like to bring you interesting and relevant guests, and today's guest is very, very relevant to your personal financial situation. And the area that I'd like for us to talk about on today's program is estate planning. Now, don't turn a channel. Come back. This is very important. I've seen people not do planning correctly, doing the work that I do, and things go where they're not supposed to go, or there's a big mess because people don't have the proper estate planning documents, wills, trusts, powers of attorney, all that stuff. So I invited a good guy to be on the program who's been with a firm that I've worked with for a number of years for legal work. The firm is Rice Rose. The attorney in the studio with me today is Matthew Shapiro. He will answer to Shapiro, but his name is Shapiro. So, Matthew, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Dave. I appreciate that very kind introduction, and I'm very excited to be here this afternoon.
I'm glad you're here, and we've been very happy. We have been working with Matthew with our clients. He's been coming over and he's either meeting with them in his office or even come over and meet with our clients in our office to help them get their estate planning stuff in order. And the reason I wanted to bring Matthew on the program today is I think that very often it's easy to overlook some of the basics and to not really understand what this is all about, why people should do this planning and not ignore it, and also to make sure that they get it reviewed from time to time.
Absolutely.
So, Matt, that's why Matthew's here. So let's start with a little bit of background about you. You've been with Rice Rose for how long now?
Well, I've been with Rice and Rose for about over a year now, a year and 2 months. I'm originally from this area, born and raised in Ormond Beach, and only left just to go to school, did my undergrad at Florida State, and my law degree at Florida International. So I've kind of been all over, but it feels great to be back in the area. I love it here, and I'm very excited to continue my career here.
Very good. And of course, I, as you know, I've worked with both Jim Rose and Paul Rice for a number of years. Good guys that have been doing it for a long time. And the office is located on Seabreeze Boulevard, 222 Seabreeze Boulevard. That I always tell Jim, it looks like a Byzantine dome, a big brass-looking thing up on top of the building.
It certainly does. Well, you know, marketing, anything that sets you apart from everyone else.
Well, you want to be different in a good way. And the office number for somebody who wants to get a hold of you, it's 386 area code 257-1222.
Yes.
Okay, excellent. So, all right, so let's break it down, Matthew. Estate planning, first of all, why do people need to do it?
Okay, well, estate planning, first and foremost, there's kind of two aspects to it. The first is property management and the ability to control and decide what happens to your property after you pass. And everyone knows that's not a pleasant topic. No one wants to come in and contemplate death or what's going to happen to their family members at that point in time. But it's really important to sit there and make sure that you have a plan that's going to take care of what your wishes and desires are. And, you know, the other part of it, too, is people don't necessarily like the idea of having to spend money on these things, but you're also saving your family money down the line. The more work you can do now preventatively, it benefits everyone down the line. So that's the first one, is property management.
And we're not talking about small dollars. If the planning is not done right on the front end, the dollars are thousands or tens of thousands of dollars down the road.
Absolutely.
That the family may incur if things aren't done properly.
Absolutely.
And you got people that end up getting property that aren't supposed to. Somebody gets your money that you don't want because you didn't update something, or you know, you've got a life insurance policy that says one thing and your trust or your will says another, and you got to make sure all this stuff works together.
Yes, and you know, unfortunately there are stories upon stories about instances like that. Unfortunately, it is all too common. So that's kind of the first part. And then the second part you want to talk about is money protection, wealth protection, which I'm sure you do.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a little bit here at Holland. But of course, you know, making sure that you don't encounter estate tax issues that's going to deplete more money than you necessarily need to have taken from you. So that's really the second part of it, is that wealth preservation aspect.
Okay, so it's getting things to go where you want them to go and just preserving and minimizing expense and costs for the transfer of your estate, what you've got when you're done with it, to your beneficiaries.
Yes.
And especially for spouses or significant others, making sure that you provide for them. And there's a lot of things that you need to do there. Now, right now, you know, one of the things that people often think about when you say estate planning, they think just estate, inheritance, death taxes. But estate planning is a lot of other things besides that.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's a perception that we fight against in our office, is making sure that people understand. You know, so often what we see in the media and movies is the will. There is the will, and that's
the
estate,
the
reading of the will, the family gathers. But you're absolutely right in that there are related documents which we can talk about, healthcare surrogates, power of attorneys. It's about making sure that the person is protected and taken care of, because it's not always about you pass away and then your estate takes place. There's what happens if there's incapacity,
yep.
what happens if someone else needs to step in. So it really is a comprehensive package that we offer and like to present to people rather than just, I'm here for a will.
Perfect. Okay. Matthew Shapiro is our guest today, Rice and Rose, the law firm. 257-1222 is the number, and the website is ricerosenlaw.com. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about what is probate. What in the world is it?
Did you know living longer could be the death of your retirement? According to the U.S. Census Bureau, babies born today can expect to live until an average age of 78. Whether you're retiring today, tomorrow, or in 20 years, you must ask yourself, will your retirement plan go the distance? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
We're back and we're joined in the studio with Matthew Shapiro. Rice Rose is the law firm, Rice and Rose, and the website is ricerosenlaw.com. Telephone number 257-1222 in the 386 area code. We're starting to get into talking a little bit about probate. Okay, so what is probate, Matthew?
Okay, short and simple, the sweet definition. Probate is a legal proceeding whereby your property is legally transferred to another through the court system, through the probate system. A will is generally the document that's going to control what happens in probate, and that's something we can get into more, but that's the general layout of it. Part of what we'll do is, as far as much as possible, help clients avoid probate. I don't want to label it as a bad thing necessarily.
No, because it's a good thing. There may be times where, because part of the probate process, and you can fill in more details here, Matthew, but it's putting creditors on notice, and there may be times when you want to make sure you flush out all the creditors.
Absolutely.
That may be looking for money from the estate of the decedent. That's the person that died. That's the fancy word. And to make sure you flush all those out before you be able to transfer that asset or property to the intended beneficiary.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and that's part of it.
That's a good thing.
It gives anyone the ability. Part of what happens when there's probate is letters are sent out to any potential creditors. Also, notice is sent out to any potential beneficiaries. So everyone gets their chance and their say as to what they're entitled to as part of the estate. So what we'll try and do, the reason we try and avoid probate, if possible, is it's costly.
And it's public.
Yes. Well, that's another reason. Okay. Sometimes people will prefer a trust.
Well, talk about the cost part of it.
Okay. Well, first of all, you're going to have an attorney involved. And that's part of what's going to come out.
You can't do it yourself?
No, can't do it yourself. So you're going to have an attorney there. And that's part of what the cost is going to come out of the estate of the decedent. So that's cost number one. And second, you know, it can be time consuming if it's a more complex estate and there has to be a lot of assets that are retitled. Maybe something's incorrect in the will.
Things have to be valued.
Absolutely. So it's not an easy process from a time or a money standpoint. So whenever possible, you want to go ahead and avoid it. There are a couple ways to do that. The first is to make sure your assets are titled in a specific manner. Anything that has a beneficiary or someone with a co-ownership on it is not going to go through probate. The legal transfer takes place already based on the fact that someone else is on that title. So let's say you and I own a home together and there's a right of survivorship. If I pass, that home goes automatically to you.
So that's an operation of law.
Yes.
Okay.
Doesn't need to go to probate. Same with a bank account, an insurance policy, something where there's a named beneficiary. That's going to automatically go outside of probate. So often we'll see people or recommend go ahead and put a beneficiary on your bank account. If you know you're a widower and you have a child and you know it's going to go to them, simply add their name on there as a payable on death.
And you can do that with the POD, the paid on death designation, without making them a co-owner.
Correct.
You know, so you still have that account, that's your account, but then you have that POD for the bank account. And then in the investment world, if we have an investment account, there's a corollary or a similar thing, the transfer on death, which is a TOD.
Yes.
So it's the POD and the TOD.
You know, another way you can do it too, two things quickly. One, the trust. If you place things into a trust, for those of you who don't know, it's a legal document. It's almost this legal fiction, the idea of a third person where you're giving the property to the trust, this third person, for them to hold for the benefit of someone else. So the way the court views it in this legal fiction is, well, someone else already owns that property who's still alive, the trust, therefore there's no need to have a probate. And to kind of touch on what you brought up, it protects your privacy because a trust is not public versus the probate proceeding where anyone can open those records and see how much you had on death, who it went to, who your creditors
were. All they're
going
to know with a trust is that there was a trust.
Yes.
That's it. They won't be able to look inside.
Yes. And the third tool that's fairly common to touch on briefly is the idea of what we call the ladybird deed. Many of you might know it as the quitclaim deed. Essentially, what you do with this is you can deed your property to someone and reserve a life estate. So with that, what you're saying is, this is my house. I get to live in it for the rest of my life. No one can come in and force me out. No one can take it from me. But upon my death, instantly, it's going to go to another person. They're going to have the remainder interest is the legal
term. It's called
the
remainder man.
Yes, the remainder man. Very good.
I try to pay attention, yeah. Matthew. Okay, so you could have, if somebody's got a piece of property, let's say it's their home, they're single, they want to leave it to, say, their two kids, but they want to retain it for as long as they want, but they want to go ahead and make sure that's all taken care of. They would go ahead and do this ladybird deed or quitclaim deed and give them the remainder interest of the property, retaining the life estate, and that still lets them also claim for the home exemption?
Yes, correct. Okay. They would still be able to maintain their homestead in it. And the beautiful part of it is that you don't have to go through probate. There's automatically someone else on that title.
Okay, good. Without giving them current control of the home.
Correct.
Okay, excellent. Matthew Shapiro is our guest today. The telephone number to reach Matthew is 257-1222. It's Rice and Rose's law firm. The website is ricerosenlaw.com. We will take a short break and come right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. We're joined by Matthew Shapiro in the studio today, ladies and gentlemen. Rice and Rose is the law firm. The website, ricerosenlaw.com, 257-1222. I got that down. And we're talking with Matthew about estate planning. Now, I want to get into some of the documents, but I want to make sure before we do, though, because there's folks out there that will say, I'll just do it myself. And of course, I can't imagine doing it myself because I know enough to know how complicated it is. What do you say to people that say, well, I'll just take the form off of the Office Depot rack, or I'll do the LegalZoom thing?
That's a fantastic point, and I'm very glad you brought it up. What I'd share with your listening audience is this. Those forms can be very good in certain aspects. They are legally binding. They're legally effective. It's boilerplate language that many lawyers will use. So I'll give out the secret that, yes, the forms are accurate and can get you from A to B. Now, here's the problem you run into and why I caution people against doing that. Is that the forms or the legal zooms, they don't necessarily understand how your property is currently set up. And here's a quick example for you as to a problem I've seen. There are two types of co-ownership in Florida. There's tenants in common, where two people each have their own interest, which each goes to their own estate. And then there's with right of survivorship, where upon the death of one, that second interest automatically goes to the other. I had a client come in and he said, I just want you to review my legal zoom will. Basically, what I did was I made sure everything went to my daughter and half of my house went to her too. Well, why'd you leave half the house? Well, my girlfriend owns the other half, so I want to leave my half. So the question came up, was it right of survivorship or tenants in common? Needless to say, it was right of survivorship. So that will wouldn't have been effective in that sense, and that half the house was going to go to the other owner.
Well, you know, it's interesting to me, Matthew. You hit another key point. I want to expand on it. You said these self-help documents, you know, because the commercial says self-help at your direction. Well, here's the problem. You said, well, they'll help get you from A to B. But the problem people have is they don't know where they are.
Correct.
They don't know if they're A, they don't know if they're B, and the attorney may be able to help them say, you know what, actually, you need to go from A to G, okay? And that's the role of the attorney. It's like somebody doing self-help with finances. And I deal with that. And I had a gentleman just come in. He actually came in because he listens to the radio program, which is very nice. And he simply said, I am ready to get some help. I've been doing it myself for a long time, but I realize I don't want to do it anymore and I need your expertise. So we are helping him, which is wonderful. The same is true in the attorney. You don't know what you don't know. So how do you know what documents you're going to use or if they're even the right thing for your situation? Because it may be better, it might be more appropriate that you need to do things with the beneficiary designation, or you might need a special type of trust, or you might want a specific type of amendment or special language. That's what you went to school for. That's what your law firm has spent the last two or three decades doing.
Well, it even goes beyond once they're ready to draft a document. The question sometimes can be what comes before that. Issues of capacity. Someone might come in and, you know, one of these standard boilerplates isn't going to ask you, does mom have capacity? Is mom healthy enough to execute this? It's one of the first things we'll sit down and say if someone's bringing their parent in. You know, you need a doctor's note before you execute this. This is a ripe situation for litigation. I need a doctor to sign that they understand what they're writing, they understand who the beneficiaries are, and they understand the effect of it. So there's just certain aspects. Well, while there's nothing wrong with the language in those forms, you have to make sure you understand where you're going with them, just like you suggested.
Well, and I know you're being gentle on those self-help programs. I don't mind being a little bit more firm about it, because that really gives me big concern for people. And, you know, I'd rather people look for other ways to save money. You know, you might save a few $100 or even $1,000, depending on how complex somebody's situation is. But, you know, the thing also down the road, they may end up spending a lot more money. And I think the thing too, Matthew, that people don't know is we're not talking about these horrendous bills. You know, I've seen you and your firm do things very economically for our clients.
Well, we try to.
So it's not going to be this huge expense. You say, golly, I can't go on my cruise because I had to do my legal work.
No, well, certainly not.
Yeah, but maybe you should skip the cruise to make sure that things are done right.
Yeah, it's just like we've touched upon. It's better to spend the money up front than have your estate depleted due to litigation and fighting down the road.
Because then you will be paying attorneys.
Yes, yes.
and it won't be just one. There'll be two or more, and the cost will add up. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And when I come back, I want to talk about some of the documents. You know, what are they and what do each of them do?
Sounds good.
Okay, very good. Matthew Shapiro.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
And we're back. Matthew Shapiro again, staying for a few more minutes with us today. Rice & Rose, a law firm, ricerosenlaw.com, 257-1222. They're right there on Seabreeze Boulevard with that Byzantine dome up on top. Okay, so what are the documents that are very often used? Maybe not in every situation, but what are the most common documents that people need?
I'd say there are five basic documents that we really seek to go over with people. The first, obviously, is the will. That's the most important. The will is the document that goes and tells the court and the personal representative, and the personal representative is the person who sees that the probate is taken care of and disperses the assets.
There's a person in charge of getting the assets to the people they're supposed to get them.
Be that a creditor or a beneficiary.
And they're also called an executor.
That's another common term for it.
Okay, or administrator or executrix if it's of a woman.
Yes.
So there's all these other names. Okay.
Yes.
But it's the personal representative in Florida.
Yes. So with the will, you're going to go ahead and lay out who you wish to be that person. You can go ahead and say what you wish to have happen to your body after death. You go ahead and list what you want to happen to your property. It is the guidepost, the roadmap as to what you want to have happen. Now, the difference between that and a will, and normally you don't necessarily have both. I'm sorry. The difference between a will and a trust.
Right, right.
With a trust, as we discussed, that's that instrument, almost the legal fiction of the third person. And with that, the ability is that you can actually control your assets after you pass. With a will, once they're distributed, that's it. I can't say, John, you're my beneficiary, but after 10 years, I want you to go ahead and give the money to your granddaughter. Once it's out, and it's over. With the trust, you can go ahead and control it beyond.
Control from the grave?
Yes. Well,
literally.
That's very important to some people. It really is to make sure of protection of their family. Sometimes you have people in your family you know best in terms of if there's an issue with money and overspending. So that is one of the benefits of...
Well, I'll ask a question that somebody's listening. They're thinking this question. Can I say if she marries that bum that she doesn't get any money?
Well, it really depends. each state is different. So okay. I hate to do the typical, it depends. But generally, you can't put too many restrictions on it, especially after they receive the money.
Okay.
So that's the trust. And sometimes, I won't get too complicated into it, there are certain scenarios where you do a will that pours into a trust. But basically, it's one or the other, depending upon what the client wants to see happen as far as their estate
plan. And there's lots of different types of trust. But the basic idea is that the money is held. That now we've got a trustee.
Yes.
Instead of a personal rep. Now, the trustee isn't responsible for holding that money, and it can be, they don't have to, they can hire somebody to manage it like us, an investment firm, but they're in charge, and then they disperse the money to the beneficiaries according to when the trust says you're supposed to do that.
Yes, and you can give them a certain level of discretion, too, in terms of what the trustee might feel would be best. Let's say there is a minor involved, someone going through college years, they can go ahead and say, trustee, distribute for their education, for their wealth, for their health. All those types of things. Yes, and most importantly, support. So that's one of the benefits of the trust versus the will. Now, there are three other documents that I'm actually very excited to touch on because most people aren't familiar with them.
And they're very important.
Absolutely. I'd say just as important, if not more so.
And these come into play during your lifetime.
Yes, these deal with capacity and maintenance during your lifetime. The first is the living will. The idea behind the living will, many people in the audience might be familiar with the Terry Schiavo case, the idea of what happens if someone is... needs a life-sustaining intervention, but they're not necessarily going to recover. It's an end stage. It's a condition that's not going to get any better. Do they want to be kept alive artificially? And the living will grants someone the power to step in and say yes or no and shows what your wishes are in regards to that treatment.
So you can say in advance, if I am in a what's called a persistent vegetative state, if I am not coming back, unplug me, please.
Yes. Okay. That's the most common one. Now, the second is the designation of healthcare surrogate. And it's somewhat similar to the living will in that you're dealing with health, not money.
It's about getting better.
Yes, that's the main difference is you're not talking about an end stage or a persistent vegetative state. It might be simply be you're in a car accident. You have to go to a nursing home. You've lost capacity and you need to be cared for by someone. This gives someone the ability to step in and care for
you. They can make medical decisions on your behalf.
Yes. And finally, most importantly, is the power of attorney. And this is something we could spend many, many minutes talking about, but the brief explanation of it is it gives someone the ability to step in and act on your behalf financially.
As if they were you.
Yes, as if they were you. They could bring
enter
a lawsuit on your behalf. They can enter a contract. They can access your bank account
and
pay your bills.
Close accounts.
Yes. All very common examples. It's a very powerful document, so I'd caution anyone out there, especially with this one, meet with a qualified attorney before you consider executing one of
those. And be very careful about who you give this power to, because they literally, according to the law, basically become your clone.
Yes, the law has actually changed at this point. It's no longer springing. It used to be it only took effect when you were incapacitated. Now, as I like to call it, it's a hot gun. It's live. It is what it is right now.
One is in the chamber.
Yes.
So all of these things are things that people need to think carefully about. And of course, I have you on the program today, Matthew, because I feel strongly that people need legal guidance and make sure that they are doing this the right way, because there's going to be questions that you don't even know you need to ask. So give Matthew a call at Rice & Rose, the law firm, ricerosenlaw.com, 257-1222. Matthew, we'll have you back another day. Thanks for being on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.